Welcome into a very special episode of That Movie Show.
Yes.
We are Liam's with me, Mike Wendt, Bill Neville, and we are very excited. It feels like a long time coming.
It does. It absolutely does.
But we have finally got Michael Jai White of course, Black Dynamite fame, Dark Knight, Spawn. I mean, I go way back to Tyson back in the 90s with Michael.
That's right.
It's very cool to have Michael Jai White on the phone. Michael, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. So, like I said before, we're very excited to have you on. Our little back and forth all started because you released the trailer and the fan campaign for Outlaw Johnny Black, and I kind of lost my mind a little bit as a
absolutely
and Liam as well as huge Black Dynamite fans. As soon as that dropped, I was like, oh my god, how do we get Michael on the phone?
Oh, cool. Well, I mean, that was basically a teaser.
Mm.
That's not the official trailer, even though it looks like an official trailer. It's just basically for this campaign.
Right. That was just you and Byron having some fun. Sorry.
Yeah, some people thought the movie was already shot.
Mm. Well, it looked really good. But that was just you and Byron having some fun on horses.
Basically. we just put together something that just showed the concept of it.
And so you've been doing the fan campaign, the crowdfunding, and I understand it's wrapping up tomorrow. You have a big live wrap-up on your Facebook Live, which is at The Real Michael Jai White. So how has the campaign gone for you?
It's been great. I mean, we got so many fans involved, and we're going to keep them involved. Even though the campaign is wrapping up, we're still going to be, you know, interactive.
Absolutely.
We're going to have, selling stuff on the website. And, you know, our T-shirts and all this type of stuff. We're going to congratulate the contest winners. And we're going to keep people posted as to what's going on with casting and everything else during the film.
What kind of time frame are you hoping to look for Outlaw Johnny Black as far as even starting production?
Well, we hope to start production this late summer.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of things that I need to do before we start. Projects that I'm already scheduled to do.
Sure.
And then hopefully we go right into production right after I'm done with those.
Fantastic. And so tell us a little about Outlaw Johnny Black. Without, of course, it hasn't even started production yet, so we don't want to spoil too much. But it looks, I mean, the trailer alone looks like a follow-up, if you will, to Black Dynamite. And what some might not know about Black Dynamite is your character in it isn't necessarily Black Dynamite, but an actor. But the actor, Jones playing Black Dynamite?
Yeah, so I believe you're talking about the connection between Outlaw Johnny Black and Black Dynamite.
I am.
And it was basically like the same company that did Black Dynamite is doing yet another movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one is in the same way that we did homage to the blaxploitation genre, we're doing homage to the Western genre. And so even though there were some blaxploitation, if you will, movies in the 70s, like Buck and the Preacher, Legend of Charlie, I'm skipping a word, and a number of them like that, it's homage to those as well as the entire genre.
Now, you've this is the second in what'd you say, the blaxploitation genre, basically.
The homages.
Is this something that you're going to be looking to continue as like a serial once you get the Outlaw Johnny Black made?
Yeah, well, the intention was to do three movies, even when we did Black Dynamite.
Okay.
There was this one, and then there was Black Dynamite, and this Western, and then we were going to do a one in the horror blaxploitation horror area.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
With so we're all very excited, obviously very excited about Outlaw Johnny Black and its progress. But when we have you on the phone, there's a few things we got to talk about. I mean, Liam is sitting across from me wearing a Batman T-shirt, and you had a very pivotal role in The Dark Knight itself. So I wanted to actually kind of start there because, I mean, the scene that you were in, you had a couple scenes with Heath Ledger, one extremely iconic one because it basically spawned the "Why so serious" line. Tell us a little bit about your time on Dark Knight and working with Heath.
It was a lot of fun. Heath is was really fun to work with. He didn't take himself serious at all.
Oh, I love that.
He, you know, I mean, not at all. I mean, he was a serious actor, but I mean, he wasn't one of those, you know, method actors who kind of took themselves too serious.
Right.
He was just an easygoing, nice guy who was really having fun playing his role.
Yeah. Now, you obviously were in The Dark Knight, and something that I want to touch on is a short film that kind of took the internet by storm in the Mortal Kombat Rebirth.
Okay.
It grounded the Mortal Kombat franchise and had IGN end up picking it up. What was it like being a part of that project?
Well, it was a lot of fun. It shows that how you can affect the creation of something, because we put that thing out without the consent of Warner Brothers. And at first, they wanted to attack us, but then they saw how much traffic it built up, and then they joined us. You know, so then they actually funded us for a internet series.
Yeah, and it ended up being very, very. It ended up taking off. It ended up being very, very popular, and kind of rebirthed the entire franchise, and kind of ended up rebooting the video game series as well. And now that you were physical in Black Dynamite, obviously you're physical in, but then you even have like a romantic comedy side working in movies like Why Did I Get Married? What makes you so versatile as an actor?
Well, I mean, I'm just a very eclectic type of person. I mean, there are actors who get known for playing the same type of role, and then there's actors who kind of are, you know, eclectic, and they kind of, you know, are chameleon type of actors. When you do martial arts and action, people will tend to put you in a category by yourself, because not many people do that.
Right.
So as a safe bet, you get kind of pigeonholed. But there was a reason why when I first came out to L.A., I didn't want to do any action movies, because I wanted to establish myself as a legitimate actor,
mm-hmm.
who did drama, comedy, and everything. Even though that there are those studios who know me as the actor, still, sometimes, you know, the action stuff kind of looms overhead, you know, quite loudly. So it's up to me to take myself out of those boxes, you know?
Absolutely.
And so I have 4 movies coming out this year,
mm-hmm.
that are very different from each other. You know, I've got a movie with Christopher Lloyd that's a kind of cross between In the Heat of the Night and Fargo.
Oh my God, I love
and,
that.
And you know, it's a dark comedy. Like I said, it's myself, Christopher Lloyd, and Sally Kirkland. Then I have an action movie with Tony Jaa and Scott Adkins, and you know, then there's another one that's called Dragged Across Concrete with Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn. So you know, these are very different types of movies from each other, but it's the career that I've, you know, fought to home. You know, I have these different types of genres that I'm a part of that don't see, you know, that are just, they don't seem to intersect, but I continue to work at those.
Well, that's good, because as an actor, you don't, the last thing you want to be is one dimensional or, you know, typecast. So being able to dip your toe in a number of different genres is obviously not only good for your, you know, your audience, but also for your own longevity in Hollywood.
Yes.
For myself, I mean, I mentioned in the open, I mean, I go way back to 1995. I remember I was watching, I was an HBO subscriber, and I remember I was a huge Mike Tyson fan, and I saw this biopic coming out, and I'm like, oh, this looks great. So I sat down, I watched it, and it wasn't just because biopics can go a couple of different ways, and it doesn't, you don't want it to just be a literal impersonation. So it wasn't so much that, you know, because you do, you looked like Mike, you're obviously very athletic, so the boxing was realistic, but then it was the scenes, it was the more heartfelt scenes, it was the quote-unquote acting scenes that I was like, god damn, this guy can really turn it on. It's, he's not just doing a Mike Tyson impression, he's really got something here. And that was like one of, I'm looking at your IMDb, that was one of your first leading roles.
Yeah, it's the role that really put me on the map, you know, theatrically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's one of those things is everybody knew who Mike Tyson was.
Right.
So usually when you do a biopic, it's about somebody who's dead or old. So the pressure was on to get this one right. But there's so much similarities between his early life and my early life that I identified with. And which was why I thought that it was a good role for me.
Now, has Mike ever reached out to you? Has he seen the movie? Do you know what he feels about your take on him?
Yeah, I mean, I've been around Mike Tyson probably 12 times since the movie. We have a lot of friends in common.
Oh, very cool.
And so it's impossible not to be in the same circles.
So hopefully he enjoyed it.
Well, yeah, he enjoyed it. I'm glad he enjoyed it. I mean, but you know, my thing is, if I do the best job I can,
right,
it really doesn't matter. I'm glad he enjoyed it. I'm glad that you enjoyed it just as equally.
Sure. Oh, very cool. That's a hell of an outlook to have. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So it just recently made the news that Jamie Foxx was taking over Spawn, and you did the movie back in 97. I was just curious if you had any thoughts on their rebooting it and Jamie Foxx taking over the lead as Spawn, and any thoughts in general on Spawn?
No, I don't have any thoughts on that.
Fair enough.
What's that?
Fair enough. So let's see. So we got, go on. Sorry. So moving a little bit.
I mean, you cut out a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry there. Moving back into the realm of Black Dynamite, because I mean, we did a whole episode on it where we just basically sat here and gushed over how much we enjoyed the movie, the lines, the hilarity of it. Now, how much I want to let's start with how much was like, because it looks like a movie with so many hilarious people in it. That there must have been a bunch of improvisation on set.
No.
No. Okay.
There's very, very, very little improvisation.
Interesting.
If you read the script, it's probably 95% accurate to the script.
Oh, very, very cool.
Now, we sat here, and when we watched the film, we talked about the attention to detail and the layering of the jokes.
Mm.
You know, how do you go about making sure that the details are met? If you're saying that the script was shot basically 90%, how do you go about managing those details?
Well, it's fairly easy to me, because the real star of the movie are the fictitious writers and director of the movie. It's the writer who has taken the movie seriously and the actors who are taking the movie seriously. Well, they cannot possibly be playing the joke, if you understand.
Absolutely.
So it's easy to hold the line when you understand what the tone is. Because it's got to be something that, like, say, when the boom mic slightly appears,
right? Yes.
The director has to have said, nobody's going to pay attention to that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So in the fake reality of these people putting on the movie, they have to have thought of the movie as serious. And that's what's so funny about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, like, when you look at those movies, like, okay, like, if you look at one of the biggest blaxploitation movies of its time was Three the Hard Way.
Yep.
Where you had three of the biggest movie stars all in one movie. That was like the Expendables of that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Jim Brown, Fred Williamson, and Jim Kelly.
Absolutely.
Well, that serious movie was about an evil Dr. Feather putting a liter, these three different liters of liquid potion into the water systems of three major black cities that would kill all the black people. They were serious. That's not meant as a joke.
They weren't making a comedy.
It's funny as hell. Yeah, they were not making a comedy. Those guys were serious as hell.
That's hilarious.
But treating it serious is what made it so funny now.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That was the most serious movie of that time. And it's hilarious. So they meant for that to be serious. They meant for these motorcycle chicks who were masters of interrogation and torture, who rode, each wore different colors, and they had different color, motorcycles.
As you do.
That's what's funny.
Right.
Because they were damn serious, So treating the movie serious is what makes it funny.
And that was one of the things that we kind of pointed out a lot, because both of us being huge film geeks were like, it was like the jokes are the jokes and you can catch the jokes, but it was the subtleties, the little things like your character, every time he'd finish like a dramatic take and the quote unquote director wouldn't cut. And you just kind of sit there kind of eyeballing side to side. Like, I'm finding that hilarious.
Well, see, yeah, that stuff really did happen. And so that's the stuff I'm writing.
Right.
Because I find that to be funny.
Yeah.
Like in most of these movies, I'll mention Three the Hard Way again.
Yeah.
You know how many people they kill? Just evil white people that they're just shooting on the street and nobody says anything about it?
No, of course not.
And nobody knows what they do for a living. They're just badasses. And they're not cops. There's no explanation, but they can shoot. I think the body count was somewhere around 70 people.
Which is
hilarious.
And most of them played by about three or four different people.
Right. But see, you had them, they were dead serious. Between the three of these guys, they destroyed a village full of people.
Right.
And nobody cared. You know what I mean?
And they thought they were making the most dramatic movie of the year.
Exactly. But that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because you had people who've never made movies making their own movies at the time. So it was a unique time. So the people who made Black Dynamite were coming from that ethic.
Right.
I'm really excited to see their take on the Western genre.
Oh, yeah.
Because as soon as it was even rumored, I was hoping that this was just going to be a continuation of the same style. I remember watching this Black Dynamite, watching it, leading up to us reviewing it on this show, and just falling back in love with it because of the attention to detail. And I even said it on the review show that we ended up doing for Black Dynamite, is that your attention to detail is so high that you can see the care that's made. You made an excellent movie a terrible movie, if that makes sense, in like the best way possible. So I'm very excited to see what you end up doing with the Western genre, because if you put the same care in that you did with Black Dynamite, I know it'll be just as great.
Well, thanks, because there's a lot of things in the Western genre that all you have to do is be loyal to it, where you have the white man playing a Mexican,
Right.
You know, like we have this guy, well, like the white man playing a Mexican.
Right.
Around a band of real Mexicans who look like they want to slit his throat.
Didn't
you know, but, and, you know, and this guy's name is, you know, Skip Stone, but he's doing this outrageous Mexican accent. But, you know, I mean, you, all you have to do is turn on the Western and you'll see that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, what, I mean even not even Westerns, but I mean, wasn't it A Touch of Evil that had Charlton Heston playing a Mexican? I mean, that was Orson Welles.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not supposed to be a comedy. Look at the native, you know, people were playing Native Americans.
Yep.
In those movies, or some of the, you know, deep crazy political things that were going on.
Sure, sure.
But the Western genre has been around for a long time. It's a very rich genre, and it's, you know, it's rife for parody.
Absolutely.
But parody. In such a way of just, you know, treating it serious.
Absolutely. And so this is The Outlaw, Johnny Black, Cannot Wait. Hopefully going into production at the end of this summer. And, of course, the crowdfunding, the campaign ends tomorrow night, and you're going to have a big Facebook Live wrap-up party on your Facebook, which is at The Real Michael Jai White. I couldn't wait when I saw the teaser trailer that you guys shot. I'm very excited. I know Liam is very excited. So, Michael, thank you for coming on the show. All the best to you. And go to Outlaw Johnny Black the Movie or OutlawJohnnyBlackMovie.com to keep up with all of it. And, of course, Michael's Twitter, at Michael Jai White, to follow along with all the updates, all the casting news, when it goes into production, when it's going to be released, all the fun stuff. I this is such a treat for me. So thank you, Michael, for coming on.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. I've had a great time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.